This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. A bill passing through California's state legislature would single out groups that promote the boycotting or sanctioning of goods to punish a country for its policies. Aimed at the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement against Israeli brutality towards Palestinians, the bill has now been made more general with no specific mention of Israel. Still, it is clear to both supporters and opponents that the increasingly successful BDS movement is the target. The California effort parallels similar efforts in states around the country, where pro-Israel organizations have successfully lobbied representatives to protect Israeli businesses. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, refusing to wait out a legislative process, simply signed an executive order in early June blacklisting groups that support BDS and banning them from receiving state funds. Joining me now is Marcy Winograd. She is a former congressional candidate, a blogger on Huffington Post and LA Progressive. She's also a member of Jewish Voice for Peace and is one of the leaders of a statewide coalition to stop anti-BDS legislation in California. Welcome to the program, Marcy.
Oh, thank you, Sonali. I appreciate being a guest on your program.
Well, first, let's talk about California before we move to these other states where it's either in motion or has already happened. California is the biggest state in the country, and we are here, you and I are both here in California. Tell us about this bill. I mentioned initially it was sort of aimed specifically at BDS movements targeting Israel. Now it's been made more general, which some say is even more dangerous. What exactly would this bill do if it were to pass?
Yes, Sonali, AB 2844, introduced by my own assemblyman, Richard Bloom, but co-authored by many in the Assembly and the Senate, would, as it stands now, amended, it would order our state attorney general to research, investigate, and publish a blacklist on the attorney general's website, or we might call it an enemies list, whichever you prefer, of companies, businesses, large and small. It could even be sole proprietorships, such as Harry Belafonte or Danny Glover, Alice Walker, all artists who refuse to appear in Israel. This blacklist would be published and then used if the Attorney General deems it constitutional and reports to the legislature as such. It would be used to deny state and municipal contracts to anyone on the list. It's a chilling piece of legislation.
Now, Marcy, isn't your right to boycott a business a First Amendment protected activity? And if somebody disagreed with you, they could simply respond by promoting the businesses that you are, you know, essentially trying to boycott, right? I mean, isn't that where that battle should play out?
Absolutely, in the marketplace. We are all free to lobby others, to speak out, hopefully, to talk about these issues. What we don't want to see, and that's the Coalition to Stop AB 2844 in California, what we don't want to see is the state use the agency and the power of the state to deny First Amendment rights. You're absolutely correct in that boycotts are protected speech. The United States Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, has ruled as such in a case involving the NAACP. So citizens have the right to boycott under the First Amendment, and the state does not have the right to deny a public contract because of a business's exercise of First Amendment rights. And we've been making this point all along, Sonali. And in fact, when the bill was in the Assembly, it is now in the Senate in California, the Assembly Judiciary Committee staff said, hey, you know, we have a problem here. This bill is unconstitutional, or certainly arguably unconstitutional. So in order to make it constitutional, here's what we suggest. And they suggested that instead of targeting Israel as a beneficiary, that instead the bill say, we oppose discriminatory boycotts. We oppose discriminatory boycotts in furtherance of a boycott of any nation the United States recognizes. And we say that is so chilling. I mean, what does that mean to further a boycott? Does that mean I cannot speak out on your radio or television program? Does that mean I cannot sign a petition that criticizes Israel or any other country that the United States recognizes? It's so far reaching in its McCarthy-esque effects that we say to our state legislators, we say to our governor, we must reject AB 2844.
I mean, if this bill were to become law, 20, 30 years ago, would it have singled out the boycott of the apartheid state of South Africa that we now in hindsight say was the right thing to do?
Absolutely. It's so perverse in its focus right now in denying the right, First Amendment right to protest a boycott to the citizens of California. And we know that boycotts are effective. We've seen that historically. Colonists boycotted England during the American Revolution. Cesar Chavez marched with his supporters to boycott grapes. Governor Jerry Brown, my governor, he marched alongside him. We saw the Montgomery bus boycott, highly successful during the civil rights era. So we know that the boycott of to stop unjust purposes, to stop what we deem as socially unjust, has a long history in the United States. And it's really a horrible attack on our First Amendment rights and on our history to deny us the right to boycott.
I mean, anybody has a right to boycott anything. If somebody tomorrow started a boycott of my show, they would have the right to do that.
I would never do that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody disagreed with me or with my politics, sure, and they wanted to start a boycott of my show, they have the right to do that, unless they were in some way maligning or, you know, making libelous statements. That's a different issue, right? So let me ask you this, in terms of how successful the BDS movement has been, are these anti-BDS efforts a measure of the success of the BDS movement? In California, can you give examples where groups have, you know, taken to heart the BDS movement and adhered to it so much so that it really is starting to impact the state of Israel and Israeli businesses?
I think you're right, Sonali. I don't think we would see this unprecedented attack on First Amendment rights by the Israel lobby unless the BDS campaign was globally wildly successful. And by that I mean, well, let's backtrack. In 2005, Palestinian civil society issued a call to the world to say, join with us in a nonviolent form of resistance that involves boycotting companies like Caterpillar that make bulletproof glass tractors with special blades to slice, to demolish Palestinian homes, like Motorola, which uses its technology to enforce the occupation in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. They said, come with us, boycott these companies. And they said to institutions like the World Council of Churches, which has joined this movement, they said, divest of your stock portfolio in these companies that prop up illegal Israeli occupation, and foster this kind of denial of basic human rights. And soon enough, lots of institutions, trade unions, here in California, we've seen plenty follow suit and heed that call. I'm talking specifically about almost all of the 10 University of California campuses that have voted, their student governments have voted to divest their stock portfolios of companies that profit off of the Israeli occupation. And as a footnote to this, Sonali, we see multinational companies like G4S, which was recently in the news, which is the world's largest security firm, selling off its stock in Israel. They want to get out of Israel because for years, G4S has been targeted by the BDS campaign for running prisons in the occupied territories. BDS happens to handle all of the border security for California. I mean, not BDS, excuse me, G4S runs all the border security for California. So I imagine they would be on this enemies list, as would Veolia, which is a French company, a multinational company, that has contracts throughout the state of California for transit. They run the Sacramento Super Shuttle, transportation, and water filtration. So Veolia, I imagine, would be on this list. Where does it end? You know, we have companies, huge companies like that, but we'll also see sole practitioners, sole proprietors also on this list.
Right.
And I have taken two delegations to sponsors, authors of this legislation, and challenged them on this and said, you know, this is chilling. And they really don't seem overly concerned. And later it struck me as pretty obvious that that's the whole purpose of this legislation that has been introduced in 21 different states, I might add.
Wow.
The whole purpose is to chill debate on Israel-Palestine.
So let's turn to New York, where Governor Andrew Cuomo just signed an executive order. Didn't want to, you know, bother to have a legislative process like we're having in California, where you and I can actually have a dialogue about it and possibly influence the debate. He just went ahead and decided to sign. How similar is what he signed to what California is considering? What would his executive order actually do?
Sonali, I've read Governor Andrew Cuomo's executive order. It is even more far-reaching than what we're looking at in California. His unilateral decree, as though he were a king, was that the state of New York will not do business with any business, however large or small, that boycotts or furthers a boycott of Israel, specifically naming Israel, no other country, and also that the state will not invest in any companies on this mandated blacklist that the General Services Department has to draw up. So what this means effectively is that the governor of New York has seized control of the 10th largest pension fund in the country, and that's a pension fund that is the teacher pension fund.
Well, who, so they have the right to decide where their pensions are invested. Oh
my. Exactly, and my question to Randy Weingarten, the head of the American Federation of Teachers, is were teachers consulted that the governor had, you know, was going to seize their pension fund? What do teachers think of this? What do you think of it? To me, this is devastating. Certainly, if there's going to be a national policy or a state policy, you would want people to weigh in, have an opportunity to weigh in. But Governor Cuomo has just taken it upon himself to issue this decree as though he were a king. And I can't lay it all at his feet. I have to say that as much as I abhor our presidential candidate, Donald Trump, and his racism, his misogyny, I have to question why Hillary Clinton felt compelled to speak before the American Israel Public Affairs Committee a few months back and say that she would stand firm with them to thwart BDS attempts. In other words, she would do whatever she could to stand with somebody like Andrew Cuomo to make sure that states pass legislation against the boycott, divestment,
and
sanctions
movement.
Hillary
Clinton's very, very staunch backing of Israel and close personal friendship with Benjamin Netanyahu is well known. She boasts of it. And just staying on Cuomo for a bit, a New York Times op-ed earlier this month pointed out that Mario Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo's own father, in 1985 proposed that the state of New York divest in companies that did business with apartheid South Africa. When that didn't go anywhere, he personally divested, meaning he personally used a BDS-like channel aimed at another state that was oppressing certain groups of poll groups of people. And so all these years later, his own son is sort of taking a position that completely violates what his father espoused, which is very, very sad.
Yes, it's a horrible legacy for Andrew Cuomo to leave to his children, to suppress speech and to side with a state that is routinely violating human rights. Just today, I read about how the Israeli National Water Company is cutting off water to about 40,000 Palestinians. Some of them haven't had fresh water for over a month.
And those are the kinds of actions that the BDS movement is targeting, right?
Absolutely. And how can you stand with a country that is denying cutting off water to innocent people in the occupied territories? It's really so chilling and so disturbing. And here in Los Angeles, this week, I'm afraid to say our LA City Council voted to endorse this kind of legislation.
So you mentioned earlier that 21 states around the country have such similar bills that are passing through their legislatures. Illinois is one. I understand it already passed a bill. How far along are these bills? And are there states aside from New York that where it's already the law of the land now?
Yes, South Carolina instituted a similar bill as Illinois. I believe it's to deny the opportunity to do business with any business that's furthering a boycott of Israel. The other bills in 21 states, as we mentioned, are in various stages. A couple of them, I believe there's one in Pennsylvania, are unbelievable. They call on the state to defund state universities where student governments vote to divest of companies profiting off of the Israeli occupation. It's hard to believe, but this is what's happening.
So I've seen some op-eds and some writings by people who say, I support the state of Israel and I oppose BDS, but I also oppose these measures that are such a blatant attack on First Amendment rights. Now, it seems pretty clear that there should be some kind of legal method to challenge these bills in court, that you know, any constitutional lawyer would have a field day taking this all the way to the Supreme Court. And you mentioned earlier that in the past we've had the Supreme Court affirm the rights of people to boycott. Is anybody challenging these laws in court?
Well, I know that the Center for Constitutional Rights has been speaking out against this type of legislation, has published editorials, commentaries against it. And the ACLU initially had spoken out against the bill in California. Hopefully they will join us again. I don't know of any actual lawsuits, but it's certainly these kinds of bills beg for lawsuits. And what a shame that taxpayers in my own state in California would have to pay to defend a bill that is unconstitutional. I would hopefully see an attorney general refuse to enact this bill, to enforce this bill, because it is unconstitutional, as are other bills in other states to deny state funding to universities that vote to divest, as is Governor Cuomo's executive order. We anticipate lawsuits. And in fact, when we met in California with one of the authors, Senator Ben Allen, of this bill, this anti-BDS bill, one of the members of the delegation said, you know what, I have a company, I'm a sole proprietor, I write grants, and I'm going to ask to be put on this blacklist.
Huh.
And then I will have standing to challenge this.
Huh. Oh, that's an interesting approach. So even if these are not, or say before these are legally challenged over the constitutionality in court, these laws, how would they even be enforced? I mean, basically, states make, huge amounts of, or fund huge numbers of institutions constantly through taxpayer funding. Would they have to sit there and monitor who's made what statements, signed which statements, or jumped on any BDS bandwagon in order to enforce this? I mean, it also seems like it's very difficult to enforce.
Very difficult, and as we said, McCarthy-like, because you'd have to keep an eye on everybody all the time. In California, where Jewish Voice for Peace and Palestine Legal, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee have taken a lead in opposing this kind of chilling legislation. The Assembly Judiciary Committee staff estimated the Attorney General would have to hire six new staff members for an initial cost of $1.2 million just to research who should be on this list.
Wow.
And of course, the list would have to be reviewed periodically, so there's more money that would be spent to maintain the list.
And
there would be screenshots of this list that would last forever and be put on the internet, and people would be harassed and cyberbullied. I have been cyberbullied on the internet for speaking out against this.
What about internationally? I mean, aren't there lots of countries around the world, such as those who, for example, through the United Nations agreed to recognize Palestine as a state, such as our Arab and European allies, that have actually considered joining the BDS movement and even made some steps toward joining the BDS movement? Is the, with the US having states passing such laws and then having foreign relations with countries that espouse the same sentiment, seems quite hypocritical.
Yes, and I would think that Wall Street would be on board against this kind of legislation. You have Dansk, I think, the largest bank in Denmark, refuses to invest in the occupied territories.
Hmm.
Other banks as well, European banks. It's going to come back to haunt those who are pushing this legislation. And among those pushing it, we have Sheldon Adelson, the casino owner in Las Vegas, who brought together several leaders of the Israel lobby to say, how can we push back on this successful BDS campaign for Palestinian rights? And to clarify that, Sonali, I would like to just explore what BDS is all about philosophically. In its initial call, the BDS campaign said, we support equal rights for Palestinians as well as Israelis. And what does that mean? That means we support the right of return. We support the right of those who were born in Israel but forever exiled, or for their grandchildren who were born in Israel and forever exiled, to be able to return to their homeland, not necessarily, you know, to move into somebody's home, but to return. They are barred from ever returning to their homeland. This is wrong, and the BDS campaign has opposed this sort of exile, imposed exile. In addition, the BDS campaign calls for equal rights for Israelis and Palestinians living inside the pre-1967 borders.
And Marcy, many people say that BDS is the only nonviolent tool left for Palestinians to try to win some semblance of human rights and sovereignty for themselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the points that we've made when we met with the principal author of the anti-BDS legislation in California. His name is Richard Bloom. When we met with his co-author, Senator Ben Allen, when we met with them, we said, if you deny people an opportunity for dissent, peaceful dissent, if you outlaw nonviolent resistance, you are opening up a lot of room for violent resistance. Is this really what you want to do? But I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because for many who are backing this sort of oppressive anti-free speech legislation, the whole point is to chill speech so that all of us will be afraid to say what we think.
And Marcy, I should tell our listeners and our viewers, you're sitting outdoors where there
yes,
might be a helicopter flying overhead. Finally, you mentioned earlier that you yourself have been bullied online for the work that you do, that there are so many, you know, even liberals and progressives out there who share your values, but for this one issue. Can you give us some examples of how you have had this bullying, which of course is separate from BDS? I mean, if people want to speak out against you and disagree with your policies, they're free to do so. And it sounds like they've already been doing that, but clearly that's not enough for the opponents of Palestinian freedom.
Well, chilling speech can take many forms. One form is to go on Twitter and charge somebody with being a racist, an animal. Well, hey, you know, I love animals. That's not really an insult. And we are animals, but you understand. To say that you're an anti-Semite, that's the big one.
You know? Right.
Jews like myself, who speak out in support of equal rights for Palestinians and Israelis, are often accused of being anti-Semitic.
Self-hating
which is
Jews?
Preposterous, of course, yes. So we have to push back very hard on that. It can also take the form of, you know, people on listservs or blogs calling you names. And while it may not chill me, it will chill others in the room. And that's the point.
Well, Marcy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest is Marcy.
Great to be with you.
Thank you. Marcy Winograd is a former congressional candidate. She's a blogger on the Huffington Post and LA Progressive, and a member of Jewish Voice for Peace. She's one of the leaders of a statewide coalition to stop anti-BDS legislation in California. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.